This is a busy time for Congress, to say the least, as members work to complete action on major items that include tax reform, and doing so amid a deep partisan divide that includes accusations that FBI investigators are partisan when looking into both Hillary Clinton and President Trump. Sixth District Congressman Bob Goodlatte is in the middle of it all as chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and he joins Evan Jones and me live on the phone this morning. Congressman Goodlatte, good morning to you.
Good morning. It is great to be with you and your listeners.
We appreciate you joining us, Congressman. If you would, let's start with tax reform. Congressman Goodlatte, what do you know about the Conference Committee compromise version so far, and is there the risk you might not know everything about the bill that you will vote on?
Well, we'll know everything about the bill because they have to produce it, and they have to give us 3 days between when it's filed and when we vote on it. I think we'll have at least that amount of time. However, the reports that we're receiving from Kevin Brady, the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee and the lead negotiator on the House side, are very positive. These bills, while they had significant differences, had many common fundamental features, so that dealing with the top income tax rate, the corporate rate, the lowering of that, which is extremely important. We have the highest corporate tax rate in the world. That discourages money from coming back into the U.S. when U.S. businesses earn it overseas. Instead, they're investing it over there, building plants in other countries, and we need to bring it back here, build plants here, create jobs here, grow the economy here. Every individual in every bracket will face some changes in their taxes, and the overwhelming majority of people will see a real tax relief. The average family in this country earns $59,000 a year, and they'll see about an $1,100 tax break. These are, I think, very important, very positive things, but the details are still being worked out, and we can't draw any conclusions until we see those.
Congressman, this is Evan Jones. Good morning.
Good morning.
Democrats say the bill's loaded with goodies for millionaires and actually hurts lower and middle-class families. To what extent does it favor the wealthy?
Well, first of all, it does not do that in the least. This is very much focused on a middle-class tax break. However, there's no question that the people who pay the most taxes are also going to receive tax relief. And if you reduce the corporate rate, the people who own corporations will see funds pass through. That's why we maintain a very high rate, 37% or higher, as the highest rate on those earnings. But the real benefit to individuals is that the estimates are that this will result in a growth in the economy that should see the average wage earner increase their income by $4,000 a year. That is real money. That, coupled with the, as I said, $1,100 tax break for people earning $59,000 a year, shows that this is something that reaches people across the board. Unfortunately, there are those who play politics with this, and they have certainly had the benefit of coverage that I think has distorted what this actually does.
We are speaking with 6th District Congressman Bob Goodlatte, who chairs the House Judiciary Committee and recently in a very visible role. Now, you said in opening statements yesterday at a committee hearing that those newly released text messages from former members of Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller's team demonstrated disdain and bias, and they demonstrate the need for a second special prosecutor to investigate political partisanship in the Department of Justice. Now, do you not need evidence of a crime for a special prosecutor? And if so, what evidence can you point to?
Well, first of all, the evidence of the former Secretary of State raising her right hand before a House committee, swearing to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and then committing perjury is a very clear crime. In addition, the decision by the department to not prosecute Mrs. Clinton for a very clear violation of the Espionage Act, and the fact that the FBI has focused on the information about Mr. Strzok, which includes a revelation that he may have been the individual who changed the language in Mr. Comey's statement when he decided, when he announced his decision not to prosecute Mrs. Clinton, improper in and of itself, by the way, but he changed it from gross negligence, which clearly tracks the espionage statute, to extreme carelessness, which means the same thing but doesn't track the language of the statute, are things that are very improper. The granting of immunity to people for no apparent reason, the allowing of witnesses to sit in on the interview with Mrs. Clinton, the fact that the interview was not recorded. There are a whole host of improprieties that led the current Deputy Attorney General, who testified before the committee yesterday, to fire Mr. Comey are the basis for further investigation. Now, he points to an internal investigation by the Inspector General. We're in favor of that. We've worked with the Inspector General. We've met with him, and we're in favor of that. But we think that because the Inspector General doesn't have prosecutorial powers, a special counsel should be appointed to look into what happened in the FBI last year, because the trust of the American people that our premier law enforcement organization, where tens of thousands of people do good, hard work every day, but may have been corrupted by some people in the leadership of it, is critical to restore the credibility of the FBI.
We're speaking to 6th District Congressman Bob Goodlatte this morning. And Congressman, this week's pipe bomb attack in New York was conducted by a man who came to the U.S. through what is called chain immigration, the practice allowing relatives of legal immigrants to follow their family members here. You want it to end. Supporters say it helps families stay together. So why not just increase vetting of future chain migrants?
Well, first of all, there are much better reasons to change our immigration system than the nature of this attack. But this attack does point to an inherent problem. But the real reason to change it is that, like other countries that compete for international talent, like the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, they give 60 to 70% of their immigrant visas to people based upon education, job skills, job training, and job offers. We only give 6 to 8% of the 1.1 million green cards we give out each year on that basis. We're not talking here, when we talk about chain migration, about the nuclear family, about spouses, about children. There is no cap on those, nor should there be for United States citizens. However, extended families create this chain migration where people are brought into the country, not based upon what is a need of the country, but simply based upon extended family relationships. And the waiting lists for these programs are so long now that there really isn't the family reunification purpose that you talk about. Someone from India who has a brother or sister come to the U.S. and say they'll ultimately petition for them to bring their brother or sister from India could wait as long as 40 years before that reunification would take place. It's better to have an immigration system that is a two-way street, that recognizes the desire of immigrants to come to the U.S., but also recognizes that immigration should meet the needs of the United States, its economy, its society. And I think that moving in the direction of ending chain migration and moving to merit is a good reason. But in this particular instance, this really illustrates the problem of not having a good system where people aren't necessarily motivated to come here to work, but are motivated to come here for other reasons. And we don't know yet the whole story about Mr. Ola, but he is the beneficiary of first a visa lottery where people are given a green card to come here based on pure luck. And then he benefited by having a brother-sister petition filed on his behalf. I think that system is a bad one. It needs to be changed for a lot of reasons.
Congressman, in about the minute or so remaining, Democrats are saying the election of Doug Jones as senator in Alabama sends a powerful rejection of the president and his agenda. From your standpoint, what message does it send?
I think it sent a message that each individual is unique. There obviously were very unique circumstances there with a very controversial candidate that won the Republican Party's nomination and then got ensnared in allegations regarding his behavior. And I think that played a much larger role in it than anything going on in Washington, D.C.
6th District Congressman Bob Goodlatte joining us this morning on the Roanoke Valley's Morning News. Congressman, I know you're busy right now. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you both, and I look forward to being with you again soon.
WFIR News Time now is 8:24.